Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
This is True Crime Cast. Jamie and John together, the best I've felt in a long time. So I'm guessing you're sick.
I'm not sick. I just don't feel, you have a lot of energy.
And I do. I don't know why.
I guess it's just weird. It's overwhelming, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm usually the low energy. Well, I mean, we're both kind of low energy generally, unless we're called upon to be otherwise.
I mean, to be fair, you've been sick for what feels like a month. And I don't feel sick. I just don't feel hyped.
Okay.
Like you've been in here singing, like,
I don't know why I'm hype.
I don't know, man.
But I am.
It's a little much. What's going on at home? Is everything good?
Apparently. Everybody's healthy. So that's a good start. First time in a long time. Six people in my house. Five of us had the flu over the course of several weeks. So it's been a grind.
So far, only one person in my home is down. I guess maybe that's why I'm down. It's like I'm staring down the barrel of a loaded weapon, and yeah. I just know what's about to happen.
Sorry, man.
It's okay. Maybe not. I don't know. Who knows?
Also super thankful for some reviews that have come in over on Apple Podcasts. This comes from MXSandy12, and it simply says, obsessed, with the title of Wonderful True Crime Pod. So thank you, MXSandy. This is from We Dem Boys.
All right.
There you go. Says, we'll hook you. Such a great show. Very well done. And we'll instantly have you hooked onto it. One, if not the best true crime related podcast. Must give it a listen. That's a pretty high praise. We Dem Boys. We appreciate that.
We Dem Boys. I love that.
We are also Dem Boys. So
we are Dem Boys. Yeah. Thank you guys for everyone who's joined Patreon so far in 2025. We've kicked things off with a bang over there, and things are going strong. We're going to record the next one probably this week and drop it like it's hot.
Really excited about that one. That's going to be a good one, too.
February is a short month, so we just got to remember.
Got to turn it around. Got to turn it around quick. Another reason I'm up, maybe just be I'm finally healthy, back on the Magic Mind train. Daily mental performance shot I take every morning. And it really helps me to stay clear. Even with the brain fog of the flu, I could tell the difference when I was taking it. But maybe more importantly is my sleep is better because of their new sleep elixir. And now, we've trusted Magic Mind. We've talked about it quite a bit. But the sleep elixir, the fact they call it an elixir is awesome. But it's a smooth transition to sleep. You don't fall out hard. And you don't wake up groggy. You wake up feeling refreshed and clear of mind and ready to start your day. So
that's the thing that kills me, man. I've tried other sleep aids, and then I feel like I'm just groggy most of the day the next day. But that doesn't happen with Magic Mind, the sleep elixir.
And our listeners can get a great deal right now. Just go to magicmind.com/VIPJNJ20 and use code VIPJNJ20 at checkout. You get up to 48% off the subscription or 20% off a first-time single purchase. Again, that's magicmind.com/VIPJNJ20.
Jimmy, we have an incredible case today. And golly, researching this, like, it was insane. People's mental health struggles go a little bit deeper sometimes than I really can comprehend.
And we talked about it off the air that 7 years in, new ground is hard to come up with. It's hard to find things that are legitimately surprising, but this one is it comes from an angle that was shocking to me, and I can't describe it until we get into it because it's just so complex.
But it is. Let's go ahead and get into it. I want to ask you to get the ball rolling.
We're going to talk about the story of Caitlin Braun. Now, Caitlin was a Canadian woman in search of help with her pregnancy. And she decided to contact a doula. Now, in case you're not familiar, a doula is a highly trained birth coach that helps with the birthing process, often outside of a hospital, but sometimes they will partner with you to go to the hospital. So this is somebody whose job it is to help you have a baby.
So like,
successfully and easy. Yeah.
My wife didn't use a doula. She used a midwife, but those are not the same things.
Are you asking or are you telling me?
I'm somewhat of both. I think a midwife is more, is considered more traditional in the medical field. A doula is someone, it just seems like they are more of a supporting role and not necessarily a medical assistant role.
While midwives and doulas both support during pregnancy, they do have different roles and they do require different types of certifications. Midwives are usually licensed to deliver babies and sometimes administer medication. So I think that's what you're saying here, whereas doulas provide comfort measures, they help with the process, they answer questions, and they're there for emotional, physical, and informational support.
Yeah, they can't prescribe medication, they can't do a lot of the medical stuff. They're basically like just a support.
And I think this is a pretty personal thing to choose. I mean, whenever I have anything medical going on, I want to make sure I'm getting the best person. But nowadays, people are finding everything online, and Caitlin went to Instagram to find herself a doula, which maybe that's where you go. People are sharing their doula activities and their when they're doulaing around on Instagram, and that's how you discover them.
I have a friend of mine who went to college with me. I saw on Facebook she is a doula, so I didn't know what that really meant until now.
A doula is somebody, like I said, who provides that really intense care and support. So you get really close to them during the leading up to the birthing process and throughout that. And they're essentially the advocate for the woman giving birth to get what they need to be safe, to make sure their child's safe, and to stick to whatever birthing plan they set forth.
Yeah. So when she contacted this doula, she was actually already in labor and explained that her pregnancy was the result of a sexual assault. I don't know when you would traditionally start using a doula, but I would imagine they're available throughout your pregnancy, but sounds like she waited until it was happening and then reached out to this one.
I think that's a call for reservation situation, not a drive-through. But she tried to get this doula while she was already in labor, which is too late, I would say, but this doula was kind.
I've never been a woman, and I've never delivered a child, but I have been in the room. And if you didn't have someone there supporting you, it's tough anyway, but without the support, I would imagine that makes it even more difficult. So she wanted that support. She expressed that she was very scared. So the doula went to Caitlin's home to help. The doula said that Caitlin had a car seat in the living room and a sleeper seat in her bedroom, and she had baby clothes. She had the breast pump, and it checked out. This was an under-supported young woman who was making do with what little she had. Bron claimed her water had broken, but labor lasted for days. The doula began to worry that there would be an infection, so she broke protocol and drove Bron to the hospital. And when they got there, the obstetrician confirmed that there was actually no pregnancy. So the doctor, the OBGYN, examined her and said there was no pregnancy. So right off the bat, man, what's going on?
Well, I mean, if you're the doula seeing this, you think, you know, this woman has not only convinced herself she's pregnant, but she's prepared. She's bought stuff. So where's the disconnect here for this medical professional to say there's no pregnancy? What's going on with Caitlin for her to believe so fully that she was pregnant?
Well, Bron said that she was confused, and the doula drove her home, continuing to show her support. And it would be years before she discovered that Bron was in fact lying about her pregnancy.
From all accounts, looking back on Caitlin Bron's childhood, it was pretty positive. She did develop some separation anxiety after she left. Her dad had taken off and left her and her mom. When she was a child, there were two incidents where Bron had tried to harm herself. In both of these cases, she swallowed batteries. So obviously some issues here that's causing her to want to do this. As a teenager, she became a cutter, which, John, I know you're a social worker. That's not necessarily always an attempt to end your life, but it is self-harm and a sign of other things going on. She would burn herself occasionally for the same effect of cutting. She also had a history of mental health challenges, and she claimed to have memories of a sexual assault when she was a kid. She said she had major depressive disorder generalized anxiety disorder, bipolar, and borderline tendencies. And that's a lot if those are official diagnoses. Some of those do go together, but often it's got to be one or the other. So it's very complex if this is indeed her mental health history. She spoke out about suicidal ideation, and she had gone to the hospital in a 12-year span 180 times.
That's a lot.
Doctors have concluded that most of these complaints, most of the things she came in for, were just made up. So potentially looking for some attention, looking for some help in areas that she was unable to express. So she was making up these other reasons to go to the doctors. But 180 times, obviously, as an American, my first thought is that costs so much money.
Well, this story takes place in Canada, where I think healthcare for citizens is free, but God, I would imagine taxpayers are feeling that one.
I wonder how that would change the story, if you think about it, if she was in America, if she would have gone that many times.
I know that for my son, we are in a spot where we are able to pay for our own insurance, but we have like a really high deductible and really high copay. So one trip to the ER for him, and we have spent our max out of pocket for the year.
Yeah.
And that is in the thousands of dollars. So it's, man, that's a crime in and of itself. We'll do our insurance system another day.
Amen.
But we're going to get into some specific stories from over the years, but it's kind of been, this case has been looked at, and we've discovered that Bron definitely had an MO. So she handled each of these quote unquote pregnancies kind of similarly. She would approach each doula, typically over social media, with some sort of a very dramatic story, usually involving being pregnant from a sexual assault and a family that has abandoned her. And then she was able to get emotional support from them, but others were taken on a bigger ride. And we're gonna talk some about those, but she would also include stories of pregnancy loss, a hysterectomy. She would talk about cancer. She had discussed that she had been raped, and even once that she was just in a coma from all of her medical issues. So these doulas struggled and grieved with her and did all they could to believe that they had saved her life.
And they're invested. I mean, that's part of the role here, is you go all in with these individuals to give them the support. So that's making yourself vulnerable. That's putting a lot of trust. And they're getting very invested in what's happening with Caitlin. And ultimately, it just continues to get worse and worse for them. One victim in particular was a doula named Katie Nelson. Caitlin Bron would tell Katie that she was sexually assaulted and her family had abandoned her, and that had left her with this pregnancy. She told Katie that her baby had no heartbeat and that she was preparing for a stillbirth. And obviously this is getting into some heavy stuff that a lot of people have been through. If this is triggering for you in any way, feel free to step away. But these are the kinds of things that Bron brought up and things that honestly she made up. And these are not things to be joked about. These are real situations. But she told Katie that she was preparing for the stillbirth of her child who was not living. Now, Katie was really worried about Bron, both physically and mentally, and she lived an hour away. So Katie called in the help of another doula that she had worked with before named Amy Perry. Amy and Katie teamed up to help Bron over the phone, and after a few days, like we said, Bron's experiences got worse and worse. Amy and Katie were hearing screaming, vomiting. There was a moment where Bron told the women she felt the baby's head crowning. And eventually she told the doulas that she had given birth to this stillborn baby at home when she was all alone, which is a horrible medical situation. First of all, to have nobody there to help to aid in the mending and that kind of thing. But also the psychological trauma of this. You don't want to be alone during that time.
Bron was describing an excessive amount of bleeding over the phone to Katie and Amy. The girls told her to go to the hospital, and they actually stayed on the phone with her as she was transferred to several hospitals. There were there were times, Jamie, where they offered to get her like a cab and she said no. And then she would get in. This whole thing is just crazy, the sequence of events. So when she finally got to the hospital, she said that she was diagnosed with a clotting disorder, and then told the girls that she had been diagnosed with late stage pelvic cancer, all while the doulas were on the phone. So they're staying on the phone with her for a very long time, getting reports to her as she is quote unquote speaking to the doctors. It said that she would like whisper things like, the doctor's here, he's doing this, they're telling me this. So you could imagine just how traumatic and dramatic this was for the doulas on the phone.
It was. And Braun really sucking them in with her storytelling and her lies and her web of trying to convince them that she was going through all these things that nobody ever wants to go through, and really all at the same time.
Amy said, quote, over the phone, we processed losing her uterus to her rapist dead baby 3 days before her 24th birthday. She told us she might live a year with treatment and then 3 months without, end quote. And as if that wasn't enough, after all of this, Braun then alleged on the phone with these doulas that several medical professionals who were treating her were also sexually assaulting her. She told the doulas that a doctor demanded that she get on all fours and then proceeded to rape her, even while she was telling them to stop. So the doulas, they're on the phone and they want to help. So they actually called the hospital to report the incident. But when they called the hospital, that's when they finally discovered that Braun was never at the hospital.
And I have to wonder, looking from the outside, how much of them was already doubting that this was a real story before they called the hospital? Was this a confirmation of their worries that this was being made up? Or was this just the house of cards falling and they had bought in hook, line, and sinker to find this out?
This wasn't like a 15-minute phone call. This was a phone call that lasted for 10 days. So it was an insane roller coaster.
Thankfully, we're not paying for minutes anymore with our phone bills. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about yet another doula that was duped by Braun and what that experience was like for both of them. Separate incident, there was a doula named Verena Hinchy from Stamford, Connecticut, had a very similar experience to what Amy and Katie had gone through. A woman who said her name was Jessica got in touch with her for support as she was given birth in April of 2020, which was right after the entire world was shut down due to the COVID-19 pandemic. When the two got in touch, Jessica told Verena that she was a first-time mother and that she was going into early labor at 39 weeks. But she couldn't go to her local birthing center because it was closed due to the pandemic. Verena said, and this is a quote, I've worked with more than 100 pregnant women over the years, and although every woman is different and their experience is unique, there are similarities in all births. Her details were spot on, which makes me know it was very well planned and premeditated. I was completely convinced by this woman and had no question in my mind that this wasn't real. Verena communicated with Jessica by calls and text messages throughout this birthing process. Jessica told her that her husband had cystic fibrosis and had recently had a heart and lung transplant, which was another reason they couldn't go to the hospital because that would be a major risk to his health. And again, Jessica is the name that Braun has given for herself to Verena.
Over time, Verena heard the sound of a newborn baby crying. And days after that, Jessica reached out again for support because she had said that the baby has had a congenital heart disease and was going to die. So at this point, Verena's mentor told her that she should see one of Jessica's midwives on a video call rather than just speaking on the phone. Verena said that the woman willed out someone who was clearly too old, and I said, I'm going to end the relationship now. And then later, she found out that that woman was actually Jessica's mother. So her first emotion was huge concern and compassion because she thought this was a vulnerable woman with very obvious mental health issues who was in desperate need of help. And she tried to get all the help she could, but didn't know who she was or where she lived. So she really was in a place where she couldn't do anything at all. Verena's compassion soon turned to anger because she was taken for a fool, and she reported the woman to the National Crime Agency. And today, she's kind of made her own policy that she insists on video calls and will never go to someone's house without having a video chat first.
That's probably a good practice for anybody that's doing any type of in-home care, especially when it's not necessarily going through a vetting agency or hospital or something like that. Now we're going to talk about a doula who took Braun on as her very first patient.
God, this is starting off
Kristen Ohl. Yeah. Kristen Ohl. And yeah, this is a worst case scenario for her first time. Kristen worked with her virtually and said she called me at all hours of the night to have me listen to her contractions for 2 or 3 hours at a time. John, when I think about people who scam others, a lot of times they're doing it obviously for money, for attention, what have you, but they're not putting themselves out a lot of the time. Here, Braun is staying up all night just to torture this woman by making her listen to her having contractions and moaning. It's unbelievable to me. Kristen ended up being exhausted mentally and physically. She listened to Braun's stories about the outrageous treatment she was getting at the hospital, and then she stuck with Braun through the birth and ultimate death of the baby. Braun texted Kristen a photo of her stillborn baby. While she was going through this, the doula community reached out to tell Kristen that Braun may be a scammer, that they knew that this was going around, and that the entire situation may not have been real. To hear this, to hear that she had fallen for it, Kristen felt humiliated and scared. She stopped taking clients, and in fact, many of the doulas who cared for Braun and ended up falling into her trap stopped working as a doula or stopped taking virtual clients. Some experienced significant trauma, nightmares, panic attacks, worrying how far Braun would take her delusions to harm herself, to harm other people, and to put other people in danger that were trying to help her. One doula expressed concerns that Braun might find a pregnant doula or a doula who was a new mom and try to steal that baby, maybe even kill somebody to take their baby to push this to the next level. A doula named Megan Stanley said, "I was afraid every night Caitlin would come and find me. I invested in security cameras. I had night terrors, waking up screaming." And John, I know that people, I mean, we've had this podcast for a long time. There's some evil people in the world, but to be that afraid of one of your patients just has to do trauma that's going to impact every patient relationship you have from now on.
I would imagine that most doulas get into this because they genuinely want to help people, and this turned, you know, someone's love and compassion into a nightmare. So it's just heartbreaking.
And Kristen was able to do a reverse Google search and found out that, or actually she searched stillborn and it was like the third stock photo that popped up. So she was able to confirm this after she had heard it was a scam, but obviously Braun wasn't even trying that hard. She grabbed the third picture and sent it as if it was her own.
There were other times where she would send images to doulas, like what cancer looked like, what she would describe her cancer, and send a picture. Well, then they would do a reverse image search and realize it was like the second thing that popped up on Google when you would do a search. So just crazy, crazy person. In another instance, Braun told a doula that she was a social worker and needed help. The doula arrived and took Braun and then her supposed girlfriend to the hospital. Braun came out of the hospital saying that she was only 4 centimeters dilated and was being sent home to rest because it was hospital policy that you had to be at least 5 centimeters in order to be admitted. So they were going to send her home and have her come back the next day to give her Pitocin to kind of encourage her labor and delivery along. So this doula had a day job, so she had to call in the help of a second doula to help keep an eye on Braun. And the doula said that the red flag started to pick up when Caitlin said her water had broke. The other doula was like, "I think she peed in front of me. It wasn't her water breaking. It looked like pee." So this woman, Braun, is saying that her water broke, but in fact, this doula thinks she's just standing there and urinating. Wow. To make it look like her water had broke. Then the doula saw that Braun's baby bag contained nothing in it except for a change of clothes. So that's when the alarm bells really started to go off for this doula, and she remembered seeing a Facebook post about a fake pregnancy. So I'm glad that that memory was triggered for her, because she actually got on Facebook, found the post, and quickly realized that she was dealing with that very same woman. So she never spoke to Bron again, but the doula created the TikTok video that eventually went viral, and it had the hashtag doula scam. And she started the process of contacting law enforcement so that they could investigate Bron. But she had one more trick up her sleeve. What was that, Jamie?
Yeah, so in this instance, Bron reached out to another doula on Instagram. She told them that she was a rape survivor about to give birth to a stillborn baby. So this is a story that we've seen her play out with doulas a few different times. And Bron told this doula that she was in the hospital and was surrounded by friends. But she was looking for grief and loss support since she was about to lose her baby. So that's why she needed a doula. And the doula agreed, but said she felt something was wrong. Bron put her friends on the phone, but the doula said that it sounded just like Bron was trying to use different voices. So she was trying to impersonate different people. The story continued when Bron told the doula she went into labor and that she pushed too early and suffered a cervical tear and a placental abruption. So these are heavy issues that she's claiming to have had. Said she had issues with blood clotting that moved her into a multi-system organ failure, putting her in a coma on life support.
So at this point, she is pretending to be her own friends, telling the doula that Bron is actually not doing well. She's in a coma on life support.
Yeah. And this has gone from being in good health, about to have a stillborn baby, to complete organ failure. Absolutely wild. And this doula thought, you know, my patient may die, and was traumatized by that. Then the day after the news about Bron, one of Bron's friends said that she was also going into labor and that she was pregnant by the same perpetrator who had raped Bron. And she was also going to lose her baby. So Bron's, I'm using quotes here, quote unquote friend, just essentially assumed Bron's entire story. Of course, this is Bron herself as well, to the same doula.
So she needed that support somehow. So now that Bron's in a coma, she's pretending that she is pregnant in the same exact scenario that Bron was.
And she contacted support. And of course, this is when the doula community finally put this all together, and an official investigation took off.
Just days later, in March 2023, Caitlin Bron was arrested and was charged with more than 52 offenses, including fraud, criminal harassment, false pretenses, indecent acts, and sexual assault. In December of that same year, 2023, Bron pled guilty to 21 counts and admitted contacting several doulas under false pretenses. Many of the doulas who spoke in court talked about money that they had lost and how their business had suffered in the wake of being scammed. One doula said, quote, "I was driven by a misguided sense of empathy toward your situation," end quote. Many of the doulas talked about her emotional investment in Bron, missing out on their own family commitments, and even allowing this woman into their homes. Many of them spoke about the hours of work and sleep they had missed, making themselves available to Bron for a long period of time. Based on the number who spoke at court, plus the number of doulas that social media, you know, we could find in social media accounts in the group, there are estimates that Bron pulled this same con dozens of times, with possibly up to 50 people being contacted, like 50 doulas who had worked with her.
And that's just wild to me. If you look at the amount of time she sucked out of the life of each one, the amount of horrific details she had to go into every time, I can't grasp it. Forensic and clinical psychologist Ohano Ga said, "There are probably a few reasons why someone would do this, and it's important to consider what the person was seeking or trying to elicit from people. In this instance, it sounds like there was a significant care-seeking component to the behavior." She said that this is often a motivation for Munchausen's behavior, where somebody fakes an illness to seek attention and care from others. In her victim impact statement, London doula Shauna Hayes said that she was utterly drained and emotionally defeated. Bron was Shauna's very first client. In court, she said, since my time with Ms. Braun, I'm fearful of new clients. I'm now less trusting of those seeking out doula support. This is unacceptable to me as someone who wants to give the best support to people. And in fact, she's even added a false pretenses clause in her contract and no longer offers any virtual support or any free services, which I totally understand. She said, Caitlin Braun has made me afraid of doing the work I'm so passionate about. I'm afraid of gaining new clients and being worth. This crime has ruined me. Another victim claimed that Braun had coerced her into giving her massages and insisted unnecessarily on being nude during these massages when she didn't have to be. So this was very uncomfortable and in some ways, I mean, sexual harassment, assault by Braun against this particular doula. Several said that they have post-traumatic stress disorder from these experiences, and that's something they're going to live with for the rest of their lives.
In court, Braun apologized to her victims. She said, quote, I know that the words I speak do not take back what I did, and they don't automatically create healing. However, it is my hope that my words, along with my plan of action, show that I am a changed person. What I did was ultimately very wrong, and I feel a sense of shame when I think about the hurt and pain that I've caused. I never wanted to be that person that I had become, end quote. So the judge in this case expressed his concerns while handing down his sentence. Braun was sentenced to 2 years of house arrest. So that's all that she received. And we can talk about our thoughts on that in a minute. I mean, the judge makes it pretty clear that he wishes he could do more, but he was bound by law that that is what the sentence could be.
Right.
As part of her sentence, Braun had to wear a GPS ankle bracelet and then undergo mandatory therapy. Justice G said, or G, I have concerns about the mental health assessment and its finding that Ms. Braun is likely to reoffend. And he said that while he was handing out the sentence, he was doing so reluctantly, but he was bound by law. He also said, quote, I appreciate the many victims that will find this a distasteful ruling as much as I do.
That's tough. And we've talked about how Canadian law for the most you can get without parole is 25 years, even for a serial killer. So there's certainly some laws that are a bit more lax than I think the rest of the world would agree with. And to me, this is one of them. 50, up to 50 victims, John. We talk about the difference between concurrent and consecutive sentences to make sure everybody gets their due. So they do a lot of concurrent sentences, but nobody's getting justice here from my point of view. But our story's not over. After she was sentenced to house arrest, she did it again, at least two times that we know of. Just last month, 26-year-old Braun pled guilty in the Ontario Court of Justice to two counts of obtaining false pretense services, two harassment-related charges, and breach of conditional sentencing. In April of 2024, just 2 months after being sentenced on these charges we just discussed, she contacted a local charity supporting parents in crisis. She gave them the name of Katie Baker and said she was at McMaster Hospital. She also claimed to be 19 weeks pregnant with a baby that would not make it to term because her water had already broken. This volunteer contacted her to provide social work services. Braun kept the volunteer on the phone for 18 straight hours over the next 2 days before the volunteer finally figured out what was happening and who she was talking to.
This is awful. This is like just awful. You give up so much time and empathy to help this person who is a monster. So the volunteer claimed that Braun would make noises consistent with orgasms during some of these calls and asked the volunteer to describe her own birthing process and how it made her body feel. Braun was not charged with sexual assault, but the victim felt sexually violated. 10 days after that, Braun contacted yet another doula, this time a Hamilton-based doula, and was contacted via text message. This time she said that her name was Jessica Baker, that she was 21 weeks pregnant, and that the baby would not survive, and she was at St. Joseph's Hospital. Over the course of 3 days, Braun and this doula exchanged over 600 text messages. Braun also signed a contract with this doula and agreed to pay a $250 fee, which, of course, was never paid. When Bron stopped answering her texts on April 30th, 2024, the doula contacted the hospital only to find out that there was no one named Jessica Baker who had ever checked in there, and Hamilton police was able to arrest Bron that day.
The Crown, which is the prosecution in Canada, and Bron's defense agreed, so essentially we have a plea deal here, to 3 years in prison for this secondary violation while she was already on house arrests. However, the judge paused those proceedings, saying that this was a fairly significant sentence, which I think we've already suggested that we thought 2 years of house arrest wasn't nearly enough. The judge also asked for more information on her initial sentence and the statements made by victims who were sexually violated specifically during those conversations. On January 7th of 2025, Bron pled guilty to the charges we mentioned before. She's scheduled to return to court on May 6th for sentencing submissions and until then remains in custody. So that original agreement of 3 years in prison may or may not end up being true. In the original trial, there were two major concerns in the case. One was that there was no real plan to get her support for specific needs to stop her from doing this. And two, the pre-sentence report indicated that even if Bron could get the help, she was unlikely to meaningfully engage with that type of support to better herself. So that put her at a very high risk of reoffending, you think? And that's exactly what she did. So, John, what do we do with somebody like this? I mentioned breaking new ground, doula scammer or something we haven't covered in 7 years. I think this is the first one.
Definitely the first one. I mean, I wish that they, if all doulas had to be registered with like a central agency, could we get that agency to send out a mass email saying, hey, be on the lookout for fake pregnancies?
Yeah, I don't know. And how informal is the process that this continued to happen over and over again? And certainly not victim blaming here, but how was she able to manipulate the process to continue doing this over and over? And I simply don't have an answer for that. But what's the sentence here? Obviously, she needs mental health care. She needs help. She, for whatever reason, is compelled to do these things over and over for attention, for the same reason we talk about Munchausen's. But what would help her besides locking her in a mental institution?
We're not doing lobotomies anymore, right?
I don't reckon. I think we quit that.
Then I don't know.
I bet if you give her long enough, Bron will claim she had one.
No, it's tragic. I mean, what kind of trauma has this woman experienced in her life that this is the result? I think we are dealing with someone who has probably been sexually assaulted at some point in her life, and maybe for a prolonged period of time. It makes me sad as a social worker thinking that you look at people's behavior as a sign of what's present in their life, and she's reaching out to a doula for support. It makes me wonder, what's her relationship like with her mom? This woman is desperately seeking the support of a female. What does her relationship with her mom look like?
And we didn't take the time to go too deep into it, John, but she also worked as a social worker for a while. So she was in charge of supporting families and kids that were in the social care or social services system there in her area in Canada. So she was there are some stories that weren't able to really vet fully, but she was likely using that role to do some of these same things to get that attention. So is the answer more prison? Is the answer, like we've talked about this before with people who just seem mentally damaged, potentially beyond repair?
Yeah, man. I think there is. I hope there's hope. So I'll say that. But mandatory therapy, you've got to want to be, you know, in some kind of treatment. You've got to want that for yourself. So forcing someone to do therapy, it may end up being a good thing for her, but oftentimes it's going to be very superficial, very surface level stuff. This woman needs a lot of help. And as far as disciplinary stuff, I mean, shoot, this woman it is fraud. It is absolutely fraud. So I do think sending her to prison for a few years, you know, it's justifiable for my sake.
Absolutely. And we'll see what that is. We will certainly give out an update when that sentence is handed down, whether that's here or on True Crime to Go, and more than likely on social media. If you're not already, follow us over on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Pretty active over there, and been able to get a lot of engagement lately with some stories that we've covered. So join us over there for further discussion. But this is new ground for us. If you have other cases like this of things that we just haven't ever gotten around to because they're so rare, would love to have more conversations about things like this.
I'm going to go send an email to the friend that I have that is a doula to make sure that old Jessica or whatever her name might be hasn't ever contacted her. I wonder if she's ever had any fake pregnancies.
So oh, man. Yeah,
let's find out.
Yeah, maybe we can do that for a Patreon episode too. All right, guys, we really appreciate your ongoing support. And we'll be back with more content next week.
Until next crime, this has been True Crime Cast.
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.